in administration. Sometimes people are going to do things a little bit different than from what we're used to, and we have to learn to be okay with that and embrace it.
We're not in control all the time, right?
We're not in control all the time.
I know, it's hard. It's very hard.
But in terms of like a black and white system, we have, and I got this from the principal that I served under, who was an incredible mentor, roles and responsibilities. Everything is kind of somewhere we can go back and look, who does this fall under, right? And we share that with staff for the first 6 weeks in the newsletter every week. Like, this is who you go to for this, this is who you go to for that. And I also am very big on please don't do things by yourself either. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in, my mom is a teacher, and we talked about our moms being educators. I don't believe in sending the message that to be a good educator, you have to be a martyr. Oh. We can work together, and we can do this well.
Can
right?
you say that again? Like, that's like a really good quote, right? Mm-hmm. Say that again.
To be an educator, you do not have to be a martyr.
You don't have to be a martyr.
To be a good educator. So, committees. I'm pointing at my academic coach over there because I like things to be done by committee. You guys want to celebrate this? Yes, I want to celebrate it. Let's build a committee. You guys want to have a parent night? I love it. I will make all your TikTok dreams come true, but let's do it in a committee, because people will tell you, oh no, I'm fine. It's okay. I could do it by myself. I could do it by myself. And then 6 months later, it turns out, no, they're not fine. And I wouldn't do that to anybody knowingly. If I can do something to keep that from happening, I will try. So, sharing the load.
We talk about personal growth and development. And guys, y'all know, as leaders, in whatever capacity you're serving in HR or in the principalship role, we're automatically giving feedback and receiving feedback on a regular basis. So think about, what is the last thing you learned that really changed the way you lead? Think about that for a minute. I'm going to tell you something that really this makes me think about, to kind of kick us off, is my last principalship, I went into a very established district that was landlocked, into a campus that I had a teacher on this campus who had been teaching for 50 years. And it's not a teacher that you were like needed to leave. I mean, talking about at the top of her game, just very innovative. And one of the things that I got, because you know, sometimes you ask for feedback and you get that, I think of feedback like presents at Christmas, and you get the gift and you open the set of cup towels and they're like green and match nothing. And you're like, thank you. You know, like, I didn't ask for it, but I'm going to say thank you. And as a principal, you get that feedback because you want mid-year feedback. I'm like, I really want to know, what's glow and grow. Thank you. Glow and grow. And it slapped me in the face. They're like, we don't know you. I mean, like, the people who weren't on my leadership part, they're like, we don't know you. Like, you're like an ice princess. And if you know me, like, if anyone knows me, I mean, I am, like, really deep down one of the most positive people that, you know, and see the glass half full. And that just, like, it was kind of like my son, you know. I was like, oh my gosh, these people, I have not been who I am. And I had to really work on being vulnerable and sharing who I was, because I had come from a different district in the same town. And it was just a very different culture where I didn't feel like I could be who I was. And so I come into this very established campus, and I was called the ice princess by some people. And I was like, wow. And that feedback really helped define and change who I was as a leader, because I realized I needed to start being who I am. And so I was kicking us off on that, of really changing how I led. And how it changed how I led is that I was very intentional of telling personal, like, opening up about who I was personally, with kids, with struggles, and with just leading. You know what, guys? We just did this discipline, rolled out this new discipline thing, and it didn't work. And I owned it, and then we came back to the table and had a collaborative group come together, like you talked about, to really get a plan in place. So that was my little part of changed how I led, and just really being vulnerable to share who I was, because I wasn't able to do that in my previous district that I'd worked in.
So I know for me, I don't know if it was the last thing, but I became principal when COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And first year I was on the same campus and COVID happened, and I started scheduling Google Meet, Zoom meetings with my staff every couple of days. Like, hey, if you can join, come on. If you can't, it's mm-hmm. fine. And I had a teacher that reached out to me, and she was like, hey, somebody from one of the other campuses reached out, and I was telling them about all this stuff that you know that is happening, or things you know that isn't happening, and they're like clueless. Like, she's like, where are you getting this information? And so that in itself, and she just kind of talked to the other teacher about, yeah, she's mm-hmm. making sure we know everything, and she sometimes we're having meetings and she's like, hey, we're having a meeting today, but I don't know anything. We might be out the next 3 years, I'm not sure. And oh, so that helps me to know, like, as much as I can give them the information, like, they're adults mm-hmm. and they want to know what's happening. And in order to make a campus be successful, the people who are really running the building, because yes, I'm the principal, I have to make the final say, but the teachers and the right. staff are the people who are really running the building, that are making, I feel like, the biggest impact in the students academically, mm-hmm. behaviorally, because they are with them every day. They have to know what's going on so that we can figure out how we can make sure that everything is successful. And so that really shaped how mm-hmm. I have ran the last six mm-hmm. years on my campus, because if I know, I'm gonna let you know. If I don't know, I'm gonna let you know. And mm-hmm. if I have a question about something, I'm okay to say I messed up. Like, if it did, like you said, right. if it didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out, I will be the first to say, that didn't work out, let's do what we previously yeah. did, or let's try something different in order to make the campus successful. So.
Right.
Yeah. I think for me, one of our teachers, who I would say was an irreplaceable, that I love very much, that we've known each other, you know, we've both been there for the same amount of time at the school. I went in to check on her on one of those like teacher work days because I knew she was having a hard time with some just life, right? And I sat and I talked. I had no solutions for her, and that's always hard. I have a mom's heart and I want to fix everything. But we just talked. And at the end of it, I said, you know, I wish I could do more. And she said, and I'm not exaggerating, she said, well, just your presence made me feel better. Aww. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, do you come home with me now? Do I have to change your last name? Are you my child? But then someone else said something kind of similar, and I thought, okay, well, that's interesting that two people would say something kind of similar mm-hmm. about just having one-on-one time. Mm-hmm. And then it came back on a survey where people, more than one person, made a comment about, I wish we had just time one-on-one to talk outside of T-Test, if there was a way that maybe you guys could break us up into groups and we just have like weekly meetings, one-on-one, like that one-on-one attention feels better, more effective. Wow. So that really made me think about, I need to meet with grade levels, I need to make myself more available in some way, because that's what people want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, and leaning into your development, so how do you take initiative for your own development? Because as a leader, an instructional leader of your campus, we are responsible for leading our staff and, you know, in learning and students. But we talked about self-care, and part of that self-care is also taking initiative into our own development and learning, and rather than waiting on someone else to do it. And so what does that look like for y'all?
I know for me, like, I think sometimes things just like pop up. And so I know right before I had my son and I found out I was pregnant, I kept telling my husband I wanted to go back to school. I'm not sure I want to get a doctorate, but something else. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'll think about doing a superintendent program. And so after that happened, I kind of was like, no, I found out I was pregnant. That's mm-hmm. just not something I want to do. And then there was a meeting that dropped up on a calendar invite that I saw from my superintendent that said the superintendent program from our region center was going to be here in 3 months.
Okay.
And so that in itself, I had a 3-month-old, And I'm struggling because y'all, mothers, I don't know how we do it because it was babies and diapers and it was a struggle. And I went home and told my husband, it's popped up again. I'm gonna go to school for a year. And so there were Saturdays trying to find a babysitter. We had classes, doing online courses. And so all of that, while having a six-month-old baby, trying to figure that out, and being a principal, and doing the Reading Academy.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I was, I don't know what I was thinking, but I got it all done, and it was literally one of the most amazing experiences I have had in a long time, because it was through the Region Center, so there were people within other districts who were completing the program. And so I got all of these little connections of people who were at different levels in different districts. And we were able to text, like, what are y'all doing about this? Oh, this came out in the legislative session. How are y'all gonna do that? And so that in itself was one of the greatest experiences I had to grow me as a leader. And even knowing how things work in the district, because as a teacher, you don't necessarily know how it is to be a principal until you're the principal or the assistant principal. And then as the principal, you're like, those people at the district office sometimes ain't doing nothing. Like, I love y'all, but what are they doing? And then
I
used to think
that too.
Yes. And so then I went through this program and I'm learning all of these little pieces. And so it helped me as a leader, because then I'm able to say, when a teacher says, well, why isn't the budget like this? And then I'm having to go, well, you know, you do the budget like da 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 da. And that in itself helped me to grow in order to be a better principal. I don't think I ever want to be a superintendent, and I told my superintendent that. But I did it. I was like, I need to do something else to grow as a leader, and that was the thing at the time. And so that helped me to grow and just continuing to grow myself. So I was able to tell my teachers, my staff, you can do things, you can grow. It's okay for us to grow and do other things. You may not want to be a superintendent, you may not want to be a principal, but what are the things you can do at the Region Center to help you grow as an educator, to be better for the students in your classroom, for your colleagues, and that kind of thing?
You definitely have to carve out time. You have to carve out the time. I know, you know, Jerry talked about how back when we first started coming to TEPSA, we would carve out this week to come. And I know it's not just because we're here, but we have been, how many years has it been that have been coming?
Probably, it's probably over 10 years.
And we would just go into all the sessions. I mean, at the time, the campus I was at was not a title campus. And so I was running the campus on $40,000 a year. That's like nothing. So I did not have money to bring people in or to, but it was when I grew the most, because we would come to TEPSA, we'd go to different sessions, and we'd really take everything in. And then that evening we'd get together, Jerry and I, with a glass of wine and plan out all of our PD for August. And, you know, when they say as a teacher, you know, whenever you teach something, it's whenever you really get to know it. And when I had to teach it to my teachers, to my staff, that's when I learned it. And making, yes, you have a question.
No,
this is good.
Because this is a thing that I have been trying to reach out to peers and just get some advice. So I have been a principal for 4 years, and I was a leader, you know, before that for a while, dean of instruction, associate principal, that kind of thing. So I have experience in leadership. And so what I'm struggling with, I feel like we do have a lot of opportunities for new leaders because they have a lot of peers and there's a lot of training, but I'm struggling to find things to continue to help myself grow. I mean, I read a lot of books, but you know, it is nice to meet with people. So what advice would you give to a leader who's not new to still continue to grow?
Well, I think Tanya and Vanneken, you guys are involved in something currently about to, you know, roll through that y'all are continuing some growing with.
Yes, and I was going to say that. So this past year, I think TEPSA had put out some things about responsive learning and some trainings that they would do throughout the year. And there were different levels. And so I reached out to my Title I coordinator and was like, hey, we had a new principal coming in. And it seemed like I had been the principal for 6 years, and so it seemed like it was something more for new people versus someone who had been in been on the same campus for a while. But I said I would do it with her. And so me and her and the other principal did the program through responsive learning. So there's some online courses, and then there's time throughout the month to meet based on the online courses. And they talk about systems and scheduling and all kinds of things. And that networking piece for me, I would get off of one of the sessions and I would go talk to my AP, who was also in the program. And we would say, we talked about this. I didn't even think so-and-so is doing this in another district. And so I had somebody else that I could reach out to about the different things that we go through. And at the time when I told my Title I coordinator about it, I didn't know what I was gonna get out of it. Like, I was like, I might get a little bit out of it, but it really has been a great experience throughout the year, because there were people in districts that I wouldn't have met without doing this program, but then I was able to, like, my mind was thinking about the different things as the year went by. Like, we're talking about systems, now it's time for me to do my master schedule. And so then I'm like, I learned this from so-and-so. And then there was a Facebook group that if we had questions, we could get on and we would share contact information. And so just finding places where you can do that, and responsive learning does have something like that that you can use.
Yeah, and so I think it takes what we know works. We know when we're struggling with something, we call somebody.
Yeah.
Right? It's great because in the room there's two principals or two former principals that I know I would call, right, for certain things. If you had a question about culture and why does this teacher hate me, I would call Mr. Marty. I would call Marty and he would tell me what happened. But it takes what we know works, which is talking to other people who are going through the same thing about what you're going through and talking out solutions, trying the solutions, coming back and sharing that out. And that's why it works. That's why it feels good. The program itself is very intentional about how everything is laid out. So you're not, let's say, working on something that I'm going to use, you know, next year at the beginning of the year and it's the middle of the year. It's in the middle of the year, hey, let's talk about addressing the campus or surveying the campus, because that's what you do in the middle of the year, right? And then getting that feedback back from your staff and then talking about it in the group and where are we going to go from there. And then having like that relational interaction with like a coach who has maybe like John Hines, like taken a campus and turned it around. Well, when I was there, this is what we did. I see what you're doing, and this part might be a mistake. So that's the power of it. It's like real time. We have to get this done anyway.
Yeah.
Let's make it work for us.
I think just the power of networking is what both of you are talking about, and making sure that you put yourself in a position where you're networking with other colleagues, because you've got to get out of your district. You've got to get out of, you know, and network with people from everywhere, because everybody does things different ways and they might give you different ideas. And so I think that's one of the things. I think the deep dive sessions are what have helped you, because you're getting out there and talking to experts about all of these topics.
Well, guys, we could keep going on forever about this. And just in closing, I want to thank y'all. Thank you for taking the time to be here. Thank you for being a part of the podcast here at TEPSA. And we're going to be going out and sharing it with other people, this piece of learning. But one part that we do have, guys, through the TEPSA Ignite is the featured course of the month. And so those of you in the room, if you haven't done this yet, scan the QR code, because what they were just talking about, you have an opportunity to really pour into you. It is a free course each month that are just-in-time courses. We have one this month that's over systems with John Hines, who's in the back of the room, one of our experts, and then Marty Silverman is all about school culture, which is July as you're getting ready to bring your staff back. So it's a free piece of pouring into you, which is one of the pieces that you guys here talked about. And for one final word, we have like 2 minutes. So what do you, there was one final question that I had that I was like, okay, this is the last one. So if you had to leave us with like one final word on, you know, on leadership, what would that be, guys? Because as we're leaving, we want to be inspired, and TEPSA does that for us. And you three ladies have been very inspiring. So what would be that one word that you would share with everyone else as we close out here?
I don't know. If it was one word, I would say grow. I mean, just never stop growing, never stop reaching out to other people, because that's the only way you're going to keep going. Just keep growing, because no matter, it doesn't matter if you have 3 years in, 5 years in, 25 years in, there's plenty of growing to continue to do.
All right. Any final words?
And I don't think I have one word, but just realizing that you're doing great things. I know sometimes as the principals of a campus, you feel like, am I doing enough? Is it what the kids need? Is it what my staff need? We are all doing great things, and there are people here within your district, within TEPSA, that you can reach out to know that you are doing great things and amazing things, and we are leading the future. There is no profession that can happen without educators.
No.
And so we are making our future leaders, and so keep doing great things and keep being amazing.
So I would say, if it was one word, I would say generations. If it was, because what we do impacts generations, right? During fifth grade completion ceremony, big, huge degree. There was a part of the ceremony, I was standing up front, and all the kids were turned around and they were looking at their parents like to say thank you. And I had a very hard time composing myself because that moment was sacred. The children belong to their families. They lend them to us to do something that they can't do for them. And that is the power of what we do.
Wow.
That was good.
That was
good.
Wow.
That was
and
good.
As we close out our love, sweat, and tears, yeah, I'm like, oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Erica. And thank you, Vanekin, for being here. And thank you all for being a part and just being here to listen and take part as we just had this conversation. So enjoy the rest of summer conference. It's ending quite fast, you know. Tomorrow, we have a session with John Hines this afternoon, and the morning one with Marty Silverman in the back. And then who's going to be here tomorrow for Jerry?
Ah, yes.
My daughter's like, I've got to come in and see him, because she's a teacher too. So thank you all for being here. Enjoy the rest of the conference.